Security guards at New York Pacifica station WBAI are still restricting entry to selected on-air hosts and program guests. Pacifica Executive Director Bessie Wash imposed a lockout at WBAI early Saturday morning, appointed an interim station manager, and summarily fired Program Director Bernard White and producer Sharan Louise Harper, who are key staff for WBAI's morning show, Wake Up Call. Guards are not admitting staff to the station for pre-production. Still on the restricted list is Democracy Now! Host Amy Goodman, who said she still doesn't know whether she will deliver her next scheduled show. Goodman is also a co-host of Wake Up Call. This morning, she told KPFA News that the American Federation of TV and Radio Artists were filing a grievance against Pacifica to protest the lockout. The crisis at WBAI began with Pacifica management's attempts to place new production restrictions on Democracy Now! Pacifica officials told Goodman she might be fired if she didn't comply with those new rules. Late last month, Pacifica Executive Director Wash announced the removal of veteran WBAI station manager Valerie Van Isler. After some weeks of attempting to find a replacement for Van Isler, Wash appointed WBAI programmer Utrice Lead to an interim manager position. In on-air announcements yesterday, Lead asserted she would make no programming changes and that the situation at WBAI did not amount to a crisis. KPFA News reached Lead in her WBAI office actually about 20 minutes ago, and she said she was busy managing today's holiday programming at the station. However, she did promise a comment for KPFA listeners on the situation at WBAI later this afternoon. For KPFA News, this is David Landau. And now, back to Dennis Bernstein.
And we are back here with Deborah at the board doing journeyperson's work. We thank her very much. She's running around the station, and obviously you can imagine that the show has been plastered together at the last minute. We're going to continue talking with Errol Maitland. Errol, you still with us?
Yes, I am, David.
Errol, you did a very special story that you produced, helped produce for Democracy Now!, and it also tells a lot about your connection with Pacifica and alternative radio and why you work there. Would you remind people what happened with your son and how this network can play a role in that kind of reporting?
Well, my son was murdered and by security guard of a large electronic chain store by the name of Best Buy in Spartanburg, South Carolina, back in 1995, the summer of 1995. And that killing was one of many killings, as it turned out, that has been covered up by the state of South Carolina and other police departments throughout the country. When I went to Spartanburg to claim the body of my son and to begin to do investigations as to why he had died and what was the cause of his death and who were the people who were involved in his death, his body was released to me, but his organs were kept out of it, was kept by the medical examiners in the coroner's office, and they never came to a conclusion as to why he had died. And I took his body for an independent autopsy in Atlanta, Georgia, in Fulton County, and we discovered that this had happened. And it was only through the effort of the listeners of WBAI and Pacifica who flooded the coroner's office with hundreds of telephone calls that they finally released to us the organs, which proved conclusively that my son was asphyxiated, murdered by a security guard, and he didn't die mysteriously of some heart attack or some unknown ailment. And over the years, I have continued to work on the issue of police brutality across the country. I work with a coalition, the October 22nd Coalition, to end police brutality, the repression, and the criminalization of a generation. But, you know, through Pacifica, I've been able to do that kind of work. I've also traveled, I would say, for Pacifica and report on the issue of church burning in South Carolina. I have traveled throughout the South and visited historical sites and touched bases with the civil rights movement. I've been to Selma, Alabama, and reported from there on the ongoing struggle around segregation and the right of the African-American community.
In fact, we were crisscrossing at that time. I was traveling around Alabama and Mississippi, and we were both sort of, it's interesting how the instincts of Pacifica reporters and producers go. We were both there at about the same time doing that work.
Yeah, you know, so for me, it's very emotional to talk about what happened to me and what happened, you know, what had happened to my son. But I think it is not uncommon for us to discuss these things on Pacifica before it hits the mainstream media. The scandal with the LAPD, you know, is something that we've been talking about in New York on WBAI. So it's ironic to hear that in Washington, D.C., where police murder is so rampant and police brutality is so widespread, that the Pacifica station in that town would report that there is no problem with police brutality and it's an issue that they don't feel that they're compelled to address. So, you know, I just find it very, very, very difficult to, in any way, shape, or form, believe that these people have social justice as any level of commitment on their part.
All right, well, Errol Maitland, you're going to go back, you're going to try and go to work on Tuesday. I imagine to produce Democracy Now, sometimes you have to get in the day before. You have to get in sometimes earlier than the program is supposed to start. We're hearing reports about Don Rush from Pacifica in Washington, and Bob Henley may have been in the station. But as far as you're concerned, you're going to go to work. You're going to assume that that Democracy Now will continue and that the work will go on?
Absolutely. You know, Amy pretty much lived in that station. The work is such as a national program. You get seed from all over the world. You know, we have produced that show around the clock. We have, you know, made phone calls at 1 or 3 in the morning to get guests on the phone or pre-tape an interview. So, you know, folks should understand that radio is that you don't walk into a radio station 5 minutes before your show and go on the air and magically it's there. It's hours and hours of work that has to go into sometimes 30 seconds worth of material that you know that comes across. And people with no sense of production don't know that. You know, people who even put a record on the air, it takes time to locate the material, isolate it, and to make a proper presentation. And we don't do hack journalism. We don't do hack programming. Programs that I think are well thought through and well presented, and they're presented to an audience out there who is very discerning. People know when they're getting good programs or when they're getting jive. And unfortunately, I don't believe Pacifica has any commitment towards good programming. You know, I oftentimes criticize the station in Washington, the one in which Bessie Wash is the general manager. And I've heard this criticism from other people, so it's not just coming from me. That I believe that because you put on, you have a station, you says it's a cultural station, and it's oriented towards jazz, that you can just throw anything on the air and satisfy the masses. Jazz, a classical American musical art form, came out of struggle, came out of revolution, came out of the need for a people to express themselves. Go back and read the work of a Duke Ellington and see that these people were highly political in what they do, and you cannot divorce the culture from the politics. And the struggle has to continue. The vision of Lou Hill has to continue. you know, WBAI was given over to Pacifica because Louis Weiser did not want to submit that radio station to the commercial whims of the market. And he stood to make a fortune in commercial advertisement at the time he gave WBI over to the Pacifica Foundation. We don't intend to NPRize the station, nor would intend to take it away from its primary mission of being a voice for the voiceless.
All right,
so we hope people will join us in continuing the fight. Some of us are locked out. Some of us who are speaking out will be cut off. But we can win this one.
All right. Well, you know what, Errol? I'm going to ask you to introduce one of your colleagues in. We're going to take a musical break. But right after that, we're going to have Al Lewis. Could you give us a thumbnail sketch of his bio?
Well, I think he was born well over 80 years ago.
I think 90,
But he is a man for all the ages, a man for all the time. He is up and ready for a fight. And it's, you know, hey.
Yes, he is. Grandpa Al Lewis, he's been a Green Party candidate, just back from Cuba, spends a lot of time on his show talking about the gulag, he likes to call it. That's the prison industry there in your part of the world, as do many of you at WBAI, provide a voice for those people who are stuck, set up politically through the economy and other ways behind those big walls. Rikers Island, where I taught and work with man, and did my first program on WBAI called Beyond Bars, a prison abolition program. So we are looking forward to having Al Lewis, Al Grandpa Lewis, former television star, to be with us. We're going to take a musical break, and then we're going to bring him on. And believe me, he's going to come out of the corner swinging if what I heard yesterday is still bugging him. Stay with us.
Old pirates, yes, they rob I. Sold I to the merchant ships. And minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my head was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation. Triumphantly, won't you help us sing these songs of freedom?
All I ever had,
redemption song. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds.
And we're back. You're listening to KPFA, non-corporate, unfettered, no holes barred, free speech radio for Northern and Central California, KPFA, KPFB, KFCF in Fresno. We are talking about what happened late Friday night and in the wee hours of Saturday morning, 2 days before Christmas. Pacifica boss Bessie Wash took an executive action, a chilling one, at a chilling time in cold New York. Installed a new manager, fired the program director, fired the morning show producer, changed the locks, put out a new list about who can come and go. Apparently it looks, Al Lewis, like it's a Christmas coup in New York. What's your gut reaction?
Well, first, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to all my friends in Northern California. My wife and I used to live in Alameda. And my wife went to high school in Albany, California, and went to UC Berkeley. So we're not unfamiliar with the situation in Northern California.
Welcome back.
Thank you. what happened? Well, I don't know. You want to call it a coup, a push, or... I love the term that the FBI used, a black bag job. came in the middle of the night. What happened was I got a call from program director Bernard White, and he said he had just gotten a call late evening that Betsy Wash and Utrice Lead were there and changing the locks. Friday night, changing the locks. So he called, and he happened to get Betsy Wash, and this is a quote. And he said, "This is Bernard White, program director." I said, "Yes." He said, "I understand that you're changing the locks on all the offices and the front door." And she said, "Yes." He said, "Can I ask you, why are you changing the locks?" Her answer was, "I'm changing the locks because I'm changing the locks," and hung up. Now, that is an example of tyrannical power. I have met it in my 90 years 1,000 times. One of the last times I met it was from a corrupt piece of crap, as I've called him on the air, the director of prisons in New York State. I'll recite to you an example similar. The only difference is in color. Betsy Wash is black. This gentleman is white. He is director of prisons. In 1998, I was invited by the Now chapter of Bedford Hills, which is the largest women's prison in New York State, to come and address them at the prison on the subject of the Rockefeller mandatory minimum drug law. And I said I would be proud to go. My wife would accompany me. About 3 days before the date of my going to Bedford Hills, I received information that I could not go. So I picked up the phone and called Albany, New York, which is the resident of Mr. Gord, that fat piece of crap, and said, "Good afternoon." I said, and I got his secretary, another decrepit piece of crap, Linda Fogley. And, Lou's grandpa, yeah, we know all about you. Just a minute. And she gives me Mr. Glenn Gord, and I say, "Good afternoon, Mr. Gord. This is Al Lewis." He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, I was invited by the Now National Organization of Women chapter in Bedford Hills to speak to them about the Rockefeller mandatory minimum drug law. At that particular time, I was a candidate for U.S. Senate trying to secure enough votes to get the Green Party on the ballot, which I succeeded in doing. But anyway, that's what I'm going to be doing at the prison." He said, "Well, there is no electioneering at the prison." I said, "Well, first of all, I'm not going to electioneering, sir. I am going to be speaking about the Rockefeller mandatory minimum drug law. And number two, sir, who would I electioneer? There are no voting machines at the prison." Now, I will tell you his answer, similar to another government employee, Betsy Wash. I said, "There are no voting machines, sir, at a prison." You know what he said? "You know, you're right. But I say you're not going," and hung up. Hey, that's tyrannical power. That's the only thing that they can exercise. They have no reasoning. They have nothing to stand on. Nothing. Nothing. Saturday morning, that night later, Mr. Bernard White called me and said somebody knocked at his door, a courier, and said, "Here's an envelope, there's 2 weeks' pay, sign this, you're fired. If you step on the premises, you will be arrested." I do a program on WBAI, I have for a number of years. I'm on Saturday from noon to 1:30. In the morning, I got up very early to prepare myself. I was talking to the senior producer who produces a very popular wake-up call show. Drive Time, we call it in commercial radio. Drive Time morning show. Sharan. And while I'm talking to her, she says, "Al, hold on a minute. There's a knock on my door." She goes to the door. And another courier with another envelope and says, "You're fired. If you step on the premises, you will be arrested." My wife was too taken to accompany me as she does every show. She does with me. I said, you stay home. You're going to get very emotional. Let this old mule take care of it. I got to the station about 10 minutes to 10. I always come early. My show is not till noon. Check my mail. I get a lot of mail from prisoners. My wife and I do a lot of prison work. I probably at the station get the most mail of anyone. That's neither here nor there, but that's a fact. And so I take care of my mail, I prepare my music, whatever, ready to go on, relax. One of my customs is I take off my jacket, I start arranging my mail in piles, and then the show that is on, I usually walk in, make no sound, don't use my voice, and just wave my hand, hello, to the people who are on the air. I've been doing it for years. And I leave and come back out into the lobby of the station on the 10th floor. Eutrice Lead is in her office. She sends out the production guy. I always thought he was a reporter. I don't know what he was. Sidney, very wonderful man. And he comes over to me and he can barely talk. And he says, Al, I said, what is it? He said, look, Eutrice sent me to tell you, don't go in the studio until you're ready to do your show. I said, what? I didn't say a word. I've been doing it for years. I just wave hello. Another example of power. I sit down. I pay no attention to it. I sit down, start doing my mail, looking over the mail, what I'm going to do. Can I incorporate any of the letters from the prisoners into the show? The phone rings. Of course, there's nobody there on the weekend, so it doesn't ring at the switchboard. It rings a little phone right near the window where I'm sitting. I pick it up. And somebody says, who is this? I said, this is Grandpa Al Lewis. He said, I'm downstairs here. The station is having a toy drive. People bring toys and they distribute it to needy children. And they're also doing food today, as a matter of fact, in Harlem. So he says, I'm down here and they won't let me up. And I have this package of toys. I said, okay, I'll come downstairs. I come downstairs. By then, there are about, I'd say, 15, 20 people in the inner lobby of the building. And there is a gentleman there. I don't know what he is. Security or something. I have no idea. And he's not let. There's a list that Eutrice Lead made up that only those people on this list can go up, contrary to what has been going on for the years and years and years, whether we were at 505 8th Avenue or 120 Wall Street, and they're mingling and talking. And I take this bundle from the gentleman, and I said, I'll bring it upstairs. It's the first time I've left the 10th floor. I come back, take the elevator, go upstairs, walk in. First of all, you can't walk in. You got to bang on the door. She changed the combination. And as I come in, she says to me, Eutrice Lead, are you going to keep going in and out? I said, pardon me, what did you say? Am I going to keep going in and out? The phone rang. The gentleman brought toys for our toy drive. He can't get up here. I went down. I've been here since 10 minutes to 10. This is the first time I've left. And by the way, what happens if I have to go to the bathroom, which is out down the hall? I need your permission. I come here early if I want to go and get a cup of coffee. I need your permission. No answer. Walks back into the office. Then they start caucusing. In the newsroom, they ask me to come in. I said, I have nothing to say, and you have nothing to say to me. I don't see everything I want to say on the air. And the listener will decide. And I say this because Tuesday, last Tuesday, there was a staff meeting. My wife and I got back from Havana Monday night. I came to the staff meeting. largest staff meeting ever. The room was so full, I would say close to 50 people. People were sitting on the floor. It went on for 3 hours. My position was very simple. We fight for the integrity of the station and the integrity of those people who work there, whether they are paid or unpaid. And we accept no fiat, no memo, no dictum from up above. That is reminiscent of Jack London's The Iron Heel. Al Lewis, Mrs. Lewis's son, is not going to accept that. Not. I said it 3 or 4 times. I will accept from the bottom. The listeners will determine whether we are good, bad, or indifferent. We just finished the most successful fund drive. Well, what does it mean? The listeners gave money and approved of what we are doing. Well, this discussion went on for 3 hours. I'm serious. 3 hours. Finally, somebody there, Armand DeMille, who does the kind of analysis show, wonderful show every afternoon, and he said, "Look, we can talk. Are we going to kind of back the manager and back the integrity of the station, or what? Let's take a vote." They did. Raise your hand. First, they did a count off. I don't remember if there was 42 or 46 people in the room. Everybody in the room except 2 people. Gentleman Joe Bell, who does an African music program, and Yatrice Lead voted no, and then they left the room. So there was her argument that there was dissension among the staff, which is an outright lie. I will tell you, as I said on the air, what brought this about. The Pacifica Board is out. O-U-T. Just look at the membership of the board to destroy.
And let me just remind people, we're talking about Michael Palmer, current sales associate with CBLS. He's the guy that said we could either sell KPFA and WBAI.
Yeah.
Ken Ford, National Association of Home Builders. John Murdoch, corporate attorney with Epstein, Becker, and Green.
We just picketed, yes.
They advertise, quote, maintaining a union-free workplace.
Yes.
Bertram Lee, former part owner of the NBA Denver Nuggets with a history of buying and selling radio stations, and it goes on.
Right. Anyway, I've made this clear at the meeting. Contrary to what most people believe, in this card game, the only ace that the National Board has, and it's the only ace in the deck, they think, is they own the license. Now, there's a corollary to that. In spite of the fact that 1 or 2 or maybe 3 people at KPFA were not rehired, the Pacifica Board had their ass kicked in Berkeley because of the community support, so much so that since the inception of Pacifica, they had to leave town with their tail between their legs. Why would they leave? Forgetting about the armed guards and locking up the station and everything. They wouldn't have minded that if they had won. But they lost because of the community. This is another attack upon community listener-supported radio. These people are not interested. Neither Mary Frances Berry. I will tell you my experience with her. She decided to come and speak to the staff at WBAI. Came into the room. I said, I would like to say one sentence, and then I'm going to leave. I would like to inform every one of you here that Mary Frances Berry is a government employee. That's it. No different than a member of the police department, the FBI, the IRS, or the Secret Service. no different. And I left. They didn't like that. I don't care. Mrs. Lewis's son doesn't care. Betsy Wash is a government employee. Like members of the FCC. Like Cohen Pound's son, who's now a member of the FCC. Hey, pay up!
Well, we don't know, Al Lewis. What government office does Betsy Wash? I'm not familiar with that.
It's an appointee job. Did you appoint her?
I didn't appoint Betsy Wash to be head of Pacifica.
Did you appoint Mary Frances Berry?
No.
Do you have any listener who voted for either one of them?
Al, I want you to tell the story. I think, because we're running out of time here, and I want to get you to talk about something else here. Yesterday you made, I think, what was most compelling to me was the heartbreak that you expressed from both yourself and your wife because you couldn't get into the program director's office.
Yes.
Would you remind people why that hurt you so much?
Well, I was gone for 5 weeks. It's my time that my wife takes a vacation. This time we went a week to Los Angeles, 1 week to Cancun, and 3 weeks to Havana, Cuba. We do this every year, except we usually spend more time in Cancun. And then I go to the Latin American Film Festival. I teach seminars at the wonderful film school, La Escuela de Cinema Television in San Antonio, Los Banos. And as anyone at the station will tell you, that nobody gets as much mail as I do. That's irrespective. Doesn't matter. And a great high percentage of that is from prisoners. I try to develop pen pals, advice, I'm not a lawyer, encouragement, whatever. Pursuant to that, before leaving, I tell the program director, Mr. White, would you be kind enough, the little slot that holds my mail is very small, would you be kind enough to take my mail and hold it for me? When I come back, you'll give it to me. He said, sure. At a certain point, I said, well, geez, my mail is in the program director's office. So I asked Rosemary Mealy, another member of the cabal, and I'd like to get my mail. Well, Sidney, the operations guy, who first told me not to go into the studio, who was almost crying, he has the key. Okay, so I spent 10, 15 minutes walking, looking for him. Finally, I said, Sidney, can you open? I want to get my mail. I don't have the key. Wait a minute. I was just told that you have the key. I don't have it. What do they want from me? And walks away. I go back to the newsroom where they're indoctrinating the frightened staff. And I say, excuse me, but he doesn't have the key. I was told he has the key. I'd like to get my mail. Rosemary Mealy says to me, well, you have to understand, those two offices are secured. I said, what do you mean secured? By the police department? Was there a crime committed here? I have my mail in there. Just before saying that, I noticed she had a bag, and through doing something, a bunch of keys fell out of the bag onto the floor in the hall. I said, I'd like to get my mail. I'm not going to steal anything. You can come in with me. It's very important to me. Prisoners have written to me for the last 3-4 weeks. Yatrice comes out and says, you can't get the mail. What do you mean I can't get the mail? It's my mail. It's illegal for you to do that. And it's important to my wife and I. Of all the years of prison work that I do. And the correspondence that I have with these people. Well, you can't, it's secured. We can't give it today. I said, when can I get it? Well, Tuesday. Okay, I said, so I'll be here Tuesday and I'll get the mail. No, I didn't say Tuesday. Well, you just said Tuesday. Well, no. Can I come Wednesday to get my mail? This is last past Saturday. No. We will call you and tell you when to come to get your mail. That's tyranny. That's tyranny. And as I said on my show, I don't care if that tyranny comes from a white, a black, a Jew, a Gentile. I reminded them. Who was Gene Roberts? Everybody forgot that name. The number one bodyguard for Malcolm X, who was a member of the police department. Does anybody remember that? Does anybody remember that? Those fierce battlers, the Anti-Defamation League, who acted as spies and spied on organizations in San Francisco and turned in names? So should I, as a Jew, applaud them because they're Jewish? Crap on that.
All right. Al Lewis, Grandpa Al.
We're going to win. I'm telling you.
Well, we want to thank you for your very powerful words and your expression yesterday on the air at WBAI, unfettered by the people that you were surrounded with and the pressure to try and shut you down. Obviously, you could easily step over that towards the truth. We thank you very much, Grandpa Al Lewis. Was it the Munsters or the Adams family? I can't remember.
Right. As they say in all of Latin America and South America, abuelo, Grandpa.
Grandpa.
Right.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. You're listening to KPFA, KPFB, KFCF in Fresno. It's your free speech radio station, and we've been trying to get as much information as we can to you, the listeners. I want to say that we're going to spend about, I just have 10 minutes now to do listener calls. What I want to do is just get a few calls from listeners, and I'm making you a promise right now that tomorrow's Flashpoint show, the Christmas, it's going to have to be nicknamed A Christmas Coup at WBAI in New York. But tomorrow at 5 o'clock, I will pull the tape show, and I will open up the phones for just about all of the hour, except for a few updates on what might have happened between then and now. But let's just take a couple of callers just to get a sense of what the feeling is out there in the audience. Mitch, you're on the air.
Will you please hang up and try?
Mitch is gone. Let's try somebody else. The number here is 848-4425.
Hello.
That's you. Who are we speaking with?
Hello.
Who is this?
Yeah, this is Mitch from Concord.
Yes, Mitch.
Hi. I used to listen to Al Lewis when I lived in New York, and I always thought he was, very consistent. But he's talking about coming back from Havana and talking about the tyranny at BAI. I don't understand it. If he thinks everything should be electable and up for voting, what was he doing in Havana?
What are your thoughts on what happened at BAI, Mitch? You have any thoughts on that?
Oh, I think it's terrible.
Give us some of your, what do you think happened there, and why do you think it happened?
Could you answer my question? Did anyone else?
You can ask that one to Al Lewis. You can call him up in New York on that. But
we're concerned with Pacifica listenership because no one seems to be seeing that what's
so
good to the.
Do you have any thoughts on what your sympathies? You have any sympathies with the producers or what?
Well,
you just want to talk about Cuba.
I happen to agree with Al Lewis. I think Bessie Wash is a shill. I think Mary Frances Berry has destroyed the network. But if the network's going to be rebuilt, it has to be rebuilt on a model that is truly democratic and not one that is democratic for some people and not for others.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for sharing your thoughts. We're going to go on to another call. KPFA, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Lucia in Hayward.
Hi, Lucia.
Hi. Well, when I heard the news yesterday, I was really appalled, and my immediate reaction was to want to run up to KPFA and, you know, see the same numbers of people yesterday as we had out, you know, all through the summer. And so I'm really interested in having some local actions here to show our support for our family in New York.
Well, what I'm going to try and do for tomorrow's show, we're going to open up the phones and we're going to get to some of the new elected board members, see if we can get them, at least a couple of them, to come on with us. And there was a meeting here at the station yesterday representing a number of the many groups that are stakeholders in this battle. And as you can see, I'm in here on Sunday morning. I'm going to be back on Christmas Day doing the same thing and opening up the airwaves so that we can create some unity and show some solidarity. So I want to thank you very much for your call, and we're going to go on to another call. You're on KPFA. Who is this?
Hey, this is Chuck from Oakland.
Yes, Chuck.
We got relatives up here from Los Angeles, and they can't believe this is happening because they listen to KPFK down there, but they couldn't believe that all this is happening. up here, but I wanted to ask one question. We're a little bit late on this, but maybe you already mentioned it. Tomorrow is Monday, and usually on Monday, Amy Goodman would come on Democracy Now. Does that mean that she's not going to be on tomorrow?
Well, here's the story. Very good question. I want to thank you very much for the question. Her program for Monday is already in the can. It was pre-taped because it was Christmas Day and she did some kind of Christmas show. So there will be that tape, I guess, tomorrow. There'll be that tape on KPFA. But the question is, what will happen on Tuesday? Will there be a show? Will they be let in enough time to produce properly a show? Amy Goodman was kept out of the building yesterday during a protest that took place in front of the building where the offices of KPFA are. She was not allowed in. Others were also kept out. So it's going to be, we're going to have to see here exactly what's going to happen. Go on to another call. KPFA, you're on the air.
Good morning. This is Redwood Mary.
Yes.
Hi. I'm from, as a lot of your listeners know, working up in the Redwood region on the Redwood Forest issues, and Democracy Now, the voice of that station, WBAI, as well as KPFA, has been a link for many of us from behind the Redwood Curtain. I'm kind of, like, so shaken up about what's happening in New York, but I think this is just indicative of what's in store for us with this new globalization. And, you know, what I am seeing as I travel around the country talking about the issues behind the Redwood Curtain and the problem that we have with just getting the information of what's going on out to the rest of the world is the corporatization of free speech. And, you know, it's the New York City community gardens and our Redwood Forest and local radio stations it's just the same mindset, the same.
And of course, this network is in some ways considered the electronic leaflet of the progressive movement. So, all the community groups that focus on the great work that you do obviously need to focus on keeping an unfettered free speech network
right.
Alive and well and cooking.
Exactly, and it's just not a voice for progressive movement. It's a voice for truth of what's going on behind the scenes, of what's happening to communities here in California and wherever Pacifica Radio is that's our link to the truth. It's just not the progressive left.
All right, I'm going to have to leave it right there. I want to thank you very much. Again, I want to tell the people the callers on the line, please hang up tomorrow from 5 to 6, just about the entire show. We will open it up. We'll have some local board people, and that will be that. In one moment, we're going to be joined by Tomas Moran, who is a national board member, and Sherry Gendelman, who has been doing really an extraordinary amount of work in this battle to maintain free speech radio. In the studio is an old friend of free speech radio, Barbara Lubin. Barbara,
hi, Dennis.
Response to all that you've been hearing over the last couple of days.
Well, I actually was in my car and was listening to the show, and I want to congratulate you for doing it. It was very moving, especially Grandpa Al. He's amazing. It was really something, and it reminded me of why all of us here in Northern California and now everybody in New York will continue to fight this struggle, because it is certainly far from over. Here also, we are in for a battle, and I think we're all ready for it.
We're struggling to control our own finances.
Exactly.
To control exactly what's on our airwaves,
yes.
So that we would not insult our listeners. And
yes, and we were very lucky, because I think that we had people here in the Bay Area who really worked very hard for these elections that just took place, these very democratic elections. So we do have a mechanism through whom we can take our complaints, take our praises, and to work with.
And I just want to thank you, Barbara. You were one of the first group of people to be arrested here, having, you know, had your antenna up and clearly understanding that we were heading in a downhill spiral that was very troubling.
Our listeners, I want them to know that spiraling looks like it has all stopped, but it really hasn't.
Right. Well, the only hope is in our listeners and in
exactly.
Our ability to show our own solidarity to each other and with the people in New York. Let's go now to National Board Member Tomas Moran. Tomas, are you with us?
Yes, Dennis.
All right. You had a statement you wanted to read?
Yeah, I do want to read a statement, Dennis. As I was thinking about this, two thoughts crossed my mind. First, to congratulate the listeners of KPFA and, in particular, the old local advisory board and Sherry for the courage of Sherry Gendelman for the courage of passing the rule really to democratize the local advisory board. We are moving in the right direction here, and without a courageous move like that, we would not be in the position to be speaking from the heart of democracy rather than from the place where Pacifica is speaking. So what I really wanted to do, because this is MBAI, to read a short statement, is really an appeal to the listenership of this and the staff, both of my signal area of KPFA, which is free speech radio for Northern and Central California, reaching out to the corners of the Oregon border and the Sierra Nevadas, and to WBAI, free speech radio for the New York metropolitan area. And this is an appeal to get involved in the crisis, in this crisis that involves our Pacifica Foundation, to get involved for the same reasons that each one of you came to be associated with these incredible beacons of light and hope. Please take a moment and consider how you can get involved. And please then take a moment to act so that you are involved. At the very least, this is an appeal to everyone who listens to this message to give your ear to those who are organizing in opposition to the actions of Pacifica management, so that you can now and into the future have the opportunity to hear its point of view. Do so even if you have doubts about what you have heard in opposition. Give yourself the chance to listen, which is why you support these stations to begin with. Do so by contacting one of the many local groups that has organized in your area and giving them the gift of your name and your contact information, be it email or phone. If you are an activist or a person yearning to organize and you are in between projects or you're looking for one to inspire you, please consider donating your time and your organizational skills, and do so by contacting one of the local groups in your area. And if you're a donor, a financial supporter of the dream that has brought you close to BAI or to KPFA or the Spirit of Pacifica, please consider that a gift of money can only do good if it is made in an informed and educated way. Consider informing yourself so that you can continue to be a supporter to the true vision of this organization, so that you can understand how to continue that financial support. So again, all who listen to this message, please consider contacting one of the many local groups that is organizing in your area or in your virtual neighborhood, and give them the gift of your name and your contact information, be it email or phone. Before I discovered Pacifica Radio through KPFA, I often felt like a fluttering butterfly in a sea of green dollars, in a sea of commercial media. Then one day I came upon a beautiful red amapola, a red, large red flower that invited me to rest and to drink of its nectar. If you have ever felt something similar about Pacifica Radio, please, please get involved now.
That's Tomas Moran, national board member, been fighting hard for our cause and to inform people in terms of what they can do. Sherry Gendelman is on the phone. Sherry, give us your gut reaction to what you've been hearing and what you think people need to be doing.
Well, my gut reaction to what I've been hearing is that I am, of course, thankful that the cream of the crop of political activists have found a voice on this network and WBAI and this station and previously on the other stations in our network. So I am constantly inspired by those who associate with this station and who speak over the airwaves. I am not surprised at all about the actions that Pacifica has taken against the New York station. They have a plan in mind, and you know, the options for their plan and their objective are limited. They don't care about Pacifica, all of these people, and everything they've done in their life, as I think Father Lewis or someone else that you have had on today.
Not Father Lewis, Grandpa Lewis.
She thinks she's in church.
He's the former Munster or let's don't get religious just because
she's so used to praying.
I know it's somewhere between Hanukkah and Christmas, but right now we're struggling for free speech. So
what do I think of the comedy? this was certainly not a surprise to us. We certainly believe in that the members who you have identified, some of the members of the governing board, such as Bertram Lee and John Murdoch, stand to make a huge profit from the sale of a station. And don't kid yourselves, any of the listeners, even though a nonprofit has limits on taking a profit from the sale of the station, anyone who acts as their agent is in no way prohibited from taking a commission up to 10%. And if New York and KPFA have a combined value of between $200 to $400 million. Mr. Murdoch and the other people on the board will walk away with a pretty penny, and it's something that has to be stopped. So I don't also want people to be clear politically when they say it doesn't make any sense, they're not going to get any donations. Why would they take Democracy Now! Off the air or take any of the other actions that they have taken? It makes a lot of sense for them to weaken us, drive away our listeners, and then the basis of support and opposition is reduced. There are many, many things that are going on. I want the listeners to be aware that many of the members of the local advisory board participated in a meeting yesterday at the station with members of the staff, both paid and unpaid, and other community activists trying to strategize a response that will not be a knee-jerk response. Some of the things that were considered yesterday and that we are working on are picketing of the at least two of the offices of the board members, Michael Palmer and John Murdoch, and they have offices across the country. We ask our listeners to stay tuned to your show and to this station so that they can help us participate and close down the offices of the very people who would like to close us down.
Let me remind people, Sherry, very, very, very quickly here that I firmly believe that the reason that we were finally shut down and dragged out is because we broke a story about, which was a memo written by now the chairman of the Pacifica Finance Committee, who talked about
right.
selling these stations. And one of the points that he made is he said he thought it would be easier to steal WBAI than to steal KPFA. And this is what he said, and I'm quoting Michael Palmer. My feeling is that a more beneficial disposition would be that of the New York Signal, as there is a smaller subscriber base without the long and emotional history as the Bay Area. Imagine that.
Right.
That's a board member speaking.
Right, right. Michael, you know, knows from what he speaks, except maybe he was wrong because there's quite a bit. I mean, I've been getting calls from New York all morning. I want our listeners to be aware of the fact that we have six members of the governing board at least who are passionately on our side. That's Tomas, who's on the air now, Pete Bramson, Leslie Kagan from New York, Beth Lyons from New York, Rabbi Aaron Kriegel in Los Angeles, and Rob Robinson out of Washington, D.C. It's not a majority, and it's not enough to win, but it is certainly a weapon in our arsenal that has kept us on the air this long. I also want to make an appeal, and I appreciate Tomas's appeal to those in our community who want to become active in our struggle to save the last venue in the country for the kinds of ideas, politics, and culture that we all so desperately crave. I want to make an appeal to those who are activists, to people in political organizations in our area and across the country who would not exist as strongly or as successfully as they do now without this voice for them, without this venue, which brings in money to their organization, which brings in volunteers, which brings in political pressure. The time is now for everyone in another political organization, whether it's the NAACP, whether it is any activist group here in New York, IPC, all those people within our community that thought that those of us who have been doing the work can carry the burden, you're about to lose one of the most precious assets that progressive people have in this country.
Okay, I only have a minute left, and I have to give out these phone numbers and websites, and I'm going to have to leave it right there. Sherry, again, we're going to invite you and some of the other people back tomorrow night, 5 o'clock. We're going to open up the lines for the entirety of the program, and we're going to invite you to give this information in a broader way. Also, Tomas Moran, I'm sorry. Come back. We're going to do this tomorrow, 5 to 6, and hopefully other parts of the day as well. I want to tell people for direct information and action in New York, the hotline is 1-800-825-0055. A direct line into New York, 718-707-7189. You can check out www.glib.com or our SavePacifica.net website for further information, further updates, so on and so forth. Deborah at the controls, thank you so much for your great and good work. Akelia Ramirez, I want to thank you very much for the work you've been doing here, running around for the last 5 hours or so, feeding me information. Kelly Ramirez, thank you so much. Barbara Lubin in the studio now. Again, Deborah, thank you. And please keep listening, keep fighting, stay with us. Solidarity for Free Speech Radio here in Northern and Central America. too. Central California, in New York, and around the country. Adios.
Old pirates, yes, they rob I. Sold I to the merchant ships. 10 minutes after they took I.